2 Kings chapter number 2. I'm asking you to stand, and as you're standing, I'm going to read to you Psalms 86, and then we'll go to 2 Kings chapter 2. You listen as I read Psalms 86, and then we'll read together 2 Kings chapter 2. Here in Psalms 86, there was a Psalm of David. It says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. The day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and dost wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion, and gracious, and long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me, and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and say the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it, and be ashamed. Because thou, Lord, hast helped me, and comforted me." Praise be the Lord. Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 2 this morning. I want to preach this morning just a little while on the title, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" I'll read the first verse, and you read it with me in the second response. We're down through from verses 1 to verse number 15. Are you ready? "It came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Elijah said unto Elijah, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent unto Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. The Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. The sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elisha said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here. The Lord has said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. It came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, and I'm taken from thee, it shall be unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried, My father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. When he had that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. And when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. They came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Father, thank you today for your precious word. Help us, Lord, I pray. Pray that you would bless us with your presence and anointing, Father, today. I pray that you'd help me as I preach this morning. May I deliver your word with boldness, Father, and Father, in your will. Lord, I do pray that you'll be with each one that's here, Lord, today. Speak to their hearts. May the sinner be saved and the Christian, Father, be encouraged. We ask in your name and pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We live in a day of many knockoffs and counterfeits. Not only are there people all too eager and greedy to manufacture cheap imitations, but there are many people who are also too eager and greedy to consume the cheap imitations that are being made. We, in a society, have become very materialistic. We are more consumed with having things and stuff than we are with the quality and the benefits of those things. It's the, not without trying to be arrogant today, but it's a connoisseur that appreciates and demands the real thing. While the inexperienced and the often materialistic have an appetite for the fake. And the love for prosperity pushes us to always be on the lookout for ways to do things quicker and cheaper. We are in a hurry to get nowhere and to do nothing, right? For anywhere without God is nowhere. Anything without the Lord is nothing. We celebrate and grasp the new and exciting regardless of change. If it's new and exciting, we grasp hold of those things. We don't care about the change. We don't care of the direction of results. We view the old as outdated and irrelevant. And accept the new as better and smarter. That's not always the case. There are many things in this life that should not and cannot be changed. Elisha here demonstrates one of those things. I only preach this morning on the topic, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? We see that Elijah was a mighty prophet to the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of Ahab and Uzziah. And his appearance on the scene is as mysterious as his departure. You find in 1 Kings that Elijah appears out of nowhere. And he comes as a mighty prophet of God to pronounce judgment on Israel and Ahab. We find in chapter number 18 that he stands before Ahab in the prophets of Baal. And of course he prays down a fire from heaven. God blesses him and there's a great victory there at that day. Then in chapter 19... Elijah becomes discouraged because of Jezebel. And she pronounces that she's going to kill him as he had killed her prophets of Baal. And so she's going to do to him what he had done to those prophets. And so he is discouraged. He sits under a tree and asks God to take him home. That's enough. I'm finished. I'm discouraged. Take me home. It's better for me to die. And of course, God takes care of him and God feeds him. And God brings him to Mount Horeb. And there he begins to talk to Elijah in a small, still voice and encourage him. In that time on the Mount Horeb, he goes and he tells Elijah to go find Elisha. That he would take his place as prophet. He would be, if you will, what we call today a preacher boy under Elijah. He would train him and anoint him to become the next prophet over Israel. So Elijah becomes Elijah's student, his servant and his helper. In fact, he's described in the book of 2 Kings as the man that poured water over the hands of Elijah. Now we find in our text that Elijah now, God's going to take him home to heaven in a miraculous way. And they'll understand that all, he is the prophets of the prophets, the sons of the prophets, they know he's being taken to that day. Elisha knew it. And so they're on their journey. And in this, in our text today, in verse number 10 and 11, as they cross over the Jordan River, Elijah asked Elisha, "What can I do for you before I go?" And Elisha's prayer was, "I want God to bless me. Give me a double portion of thy spirit to be upon me as well." And Elijah says, "Listen, you've asked a very hard thing for me to do and for God to do. But if you'll see me when I go, if you see me depart, then it'll be well with thee." And of course, it'll happen. And of course, you read the story that I did this morning, and you probably read it before many times. Elisha does see Elijah going to heaven by this miraculous way, a chariot of fire, a chariot of horses, and he's taken up in a whirlwind. And boy, to witness that, to see that would be a great day. And so we find that Elisha now, he goes and he picks up the mantle, and I'll get to it in a little bit here, but he goes and he also begins his ministry with parting of that of the Jordan River. Today I want you to see here, let's look for a few moments, and I gotta be careful because Miss Sharon said that I can't preach as, if we're gonna do this chapel ministry, I can't preach as long as I always do, because it can be too much to listen to and get down there, and so I gotta be real careful how long I preach. But I promise you, when I get done, I'll be done. And so we find that I want to see here today a few things about Elisha, this man of God. Number one is this. We find from Elisha's prayer request, his request to Elijah, that Elisha valued the presence of God. He valued greatly the presence of God. Elisha had witnessed God's presence and power in the life of Elijah, his master, if you will. He had seen God use him in a great way, and he'd heard the miracles that took place. And he'd seen God have his hand upon Elijah. Elijah said, "I want God's hand upon my life as well. I want a double portion of God's spirit upon me. I want a double portion of God's blessings upon me as well." So he valued the presence of God in his life. The wisdom of Elisha is putting a great value on God's presence and God's power. You see, there must not be a counterfeit. He didn't want a counterfeit. He didn't want to live as a prophet without God's presence or God's power. He wanted God's anointing upon his life. And so this morning, here we find great wisdom. And this morning, I want to encourage you as believers, in our life as Christians, there must not be a counterfeit in our life. We must put a great value upon God's presence and God's power upon our life as believers. We must ask God and look for God and seek God for His anointing and value His presence more than you value His blessings. Today we live in a world today that we see the chaos. And the devil is at work behind the scenes like never before. And every day you can get up and turn on the news or get the paper or get it on your phone. When you see this person shot that person, this person stabbed this person, these folks are dead. And we can find all this chaos, and that's just the devil running loose because we've put God away. We've not valued His presence. Today churches all across America are dead and dying. There people are asleep at the wheel, and there's no power, there's no presence, because we value His blessings and our traditions when we value His presence. Elisha valued God's presence. Today I want to encourage you as a church this morning, in your own personal life in this place, our hearts should be, "God, if You won't go with me, then I can't go anywhere." Amen. Because anywhere without God is nowhere. Anything without God is nothing. This morning we need to value His presence. Number two is this, I find very interesting. Elisha stayed with the man of God. Some of you are going to misunderstand this and think that I'm a man worshiper. I'm promoting people over God. That's not the point at all. But there is a thing in God's Word about valuing God's people and God's man. And that respect, that honor to that person. We find in this transition now, this transition between Elijah and Elisha, that we find that Elisha was aware of it. Elijah knew it was coming. The prophets, some of the prophets, they knew it was coming. So we find that verse number 2, it says that Elijah says to Elijah, "Hey, God wants me to go over to Bethel." And he says, "Tarry here Watch what Elisha says. As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. We see in chapter 4, verse number 4, Elijah says to Elijah, hey, God has sent me to Jericho, tarry here. And Elisha says this, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And we find in verse number 6 that he tells them on the other side of the Jordan, tarry here. And Elisha says to Elijah, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. Elisha refused to leave the man of God. Now that's, we find that not just in this case, but throughout the Word of God, we find the very same principle throughout God's Word. It's the same way when Ruth said to Naomi, I'm not leaving you. I'm not leaving you. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. And where you go, I'll go. And where you die, I will die. Let me tell you something. What happens when when people leave God's people? Well, may I remind you of the prodigal son. When he said to his father, Father, give me what's due to me and I'm going to take my portion, my inheritance and go do my thing. When he left God's people, he ended up in the pig pen. He ended up in a mess. And I find some great wisdom that Elisha said this, I value God's presence in my life. I want God's hand upon me, but I also value God's people and God's man in my life. Hey, let me tell you something. I'm flesh and blood like anybody else, but God gave a pastor for a reason. Hey, God gave a church for a reason. Hey, God gave elders for a reason. Hey, God gave the gray hairs for a reason. Men and women gave them for a reason. And you do well to stick with them.
Yes,
you do well to stick with them. You see, we talked about last Sunday morning in Psalms 119, verse number 63, where the psalmist said this, I'm a companion of all them that fear thee. Let's say this morning, I want to encourage you today as I look at this text, stay with God's people. Even with their faults. We are the craziest people in the world as Christians. Man, you know, the church, and don't get mad now. This will see where you're at in a minute here. The church is packed full of hypocrites. We are. Man, we go out in the world and we're running, trying to evangelize the world and preach the gospel to whosoever will. And because, why? Because their sin is going to hell. And we're preaching the gospel. Jesus Christ loves you. We love you. Get born again. Get saved. And then sinners get saved and come to the house of God. Well, I don't like them. They're sinners. Surprise. Oh, they're just like you and me. When did you in your spiritual and your journey as a Christian all of a sudden woke up one day and like, hey, I've arrived. I'm sinless. You've not got there. And so we get together as God's people, and all of a sudden, you know, we're working together, serving God together, fellowshipping together, singing together, coming to church together, and we realize, that guy's got faults! Yeah. Stay with him.
Amen.
Hey, she's got faults! Yeah, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving. It's amazing. You know, people never leave the house of God because of doctrinal issues. Hardly ever. Every now and then you find that, you know, well, you know, preacher preaching some kind of crazy stuff. We gotta go somewhere else. I get that. Man, if the church here today, if you got this morning and said, preacher, we don't want to be King James anymore. We want to be NIV. I would say, see you later, alligator. I'm going somewhere else. There's some things I'm not gonna bend on. But this idea, well, you know what? The preacher, he's got a flaw. We gotta go somewhere else. That's childish. Hey, Elijah said, listen, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving you, Elijah. I'm going to stick with you. Now, you're God's man. Stay with God's people in the face of opposition. These sons of the prophet said, listen, do you know, Elijah, what's going to happen today? Yeah, hold your peace. I know what's going to happen today. But I'm staying with the man of God. And so this morning, stay with God's people. Hey, you young folks, cling to your parents. Yeah, there have been about 45 amens right there. I know I'm not the greatest preacher, but that's good preaching though. Stay with your parents. Cling to them. Hey, these old grandpas, these mature grandpas and grandmas that have paid the price, been faithful all these years, they're out of date. No, they're right in touch with God. I'd rather have grandpa and grandma in touch with God than in touch with the world. I'd rather have grandpa and grandma who are hip with God than hip in the world. Is that even a word anymore, hip? Is it? Okay. I'm revealing my age here a little bit. Things aren't hip anymore or cool or groovy. My dad always said cool and groovy. We always said awesome. My dad said, I hate that word. Why can't you say groovy? Because it's not cool, Dad. That's why we don't say groovy. And then my kids got started getting a little older, and then that word became fat. I thought that's stupid to call people fat, you know? When I do that, I get in trouble. Stay with God's people when it isn't popular, convenient, or comfortable. Hey, we just decided today, where is the truth at? That's where we're staying. Number two is this. Elisha used the same mantle. Watch what it says here, verse number 8. They come to the river Jordan. And I can just imagine Elisha, like, how are we going to get across Jordan? Elisha, now he takes off his mantle, he wraps it together, and he smote the waters, and they divided hither and thither, and they too went over on dry ground. An amazing scene here. Man, we have read the Bible so many times and grown up as Baptist brats that we're no longer thrilled with this stuff. Man, people go and they'll watch the Avengers and go like, man, that was cool. Not as cool as this. Okay? You know, they'll go watch, I don't even know who they are anymore. You know, a Spider-Man and Hawk, the Hawk or whatever. I think all that stuff is kind of nonsense. And when you get to be 52, you turn along and you fall asleep anyway. It's not that exciting, you know. You can make it past the first credits. You know, it's like, what happened? Nothing happened. And so we're so enamored with TV and movies that when this time we read this, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah. No! He parted the river hither and thither with a smite of his mantle, and they walked over on dry ground. I mean, they didn't slosh through mud. You ever do that when you're, you know, my parents for a little while when I was growing up, they owned a boat. Not a very nice one, just an old aluminum boat, you know, because we want to keep up with the Joneses. And so we got the boat, and so we'd go boating to Delhi and Wapsie River. And there were sometimes, you get out there and you get on the water skis, and of course you fall, and they'd fall off, and you're floating up the river, and you think, I don't know how deep this water is. You stand up, and all of a sudden you sink this deep in mud. That is a nasty feeling, to be in a muddy river, up to your knees in mud. Because my first thought was, what is in this mud that I might lose my toes? When they crossed over the Jordan River, once again, God was true to his character and his power. They crossed over on dry ground. Man, when they got across the Jordan River, they weren't wiping their feet off with mud. They weren't trying to find a spigot to find, okay, where can I wash the mud off? Man, they walked over on dry ground. And then we read that Elijah, he's taken up in this chariot of fire in a mighty whirlwind. And Elijah sees this great act of God. And now he turns, he picks up the mantle of Elijah, goes back to the very same river, and he smites the waters, and he says, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And God, true to his character, parts the river hither and thither. And this young man walks across on dry ground again. Here's the point this morning. Here's what you see this. Elisha used the same mantle. See, the presence and power of God that we look for requires using the same mantle. May I remind you that we live in a day of counterfeits and knockoffs? The emerging church today is trying to make a counterfeit of God's presence and God's power. So we don't want God's presence or His power because that would require repentance and revival. It required being humble, confessing of sin, and we're too proud to do that because we're okay. We've got it together. Who do they think that we are? We have to repent, so we drum it up. We change the platform to a stage. We dim the lights and we put in green lights and red lights and blue lights so the preacher looks better, you know. And we take the clothes and we put on blue jeans and tight shirts so we can show off our muscles to the people in the auditorium. That's why I don't, because they're gone. We jazz the music up. And all of a sudden we have a counterfeit spirit. We clap and sway. And I'm not against worship. I think by and large, God's people could be a little more excited than the worship and be all right. We're not gonna cross any doctrinal issues, but a little excitement in the service. But you see, Elisha, I don't want a counterfeit. I don't want to drum it up. I don't want the emotional experience. I don't want just the warm fuzzies. I want God's power upon my life. I want God's presence upon my life. So I'm gonna use the same mantle that Elijah used. I'm not changing anything about it. So, preacher, what's that mean? That means just make your parents' Bible your Bible. Make your parents' Bible your Bible. This idea, the King James is good enough for grandpa and grandma, but we need a new, we need something new. No, that's a counterfeit. Counterfeit. It might give you a spirit, but the wrong spirit. It's counterfeit. Hey, make your parents' Bible your Bible. Hey, make your preacher's Bible your Bible. No, I said, Richard, this may be old-fashioned preachy stuff, but it's what we need in this day and hour. We think, well, that's just shallow preaching. No, your living is shallow. The world's living is shallow. Not the preaching of God's Word. Hey, make grandpa and grandma's God your God. Use the same methods, the same means. Make the prayer life of the saints of old your prayer life. Make the church of our fathers your church. There's something, I'd love to see our church be 250 people. Really would. Be a presence. Be shake the Butte for Christ. Make a difference. I can see us have a building and two piano players going at the same time. An orchestra with Brother John leading the whole thing, Trombones and clarinets and horns and all kinds of stuff. Even maybe, and I'll catch, hang on now, get ready to roll your eyes. I see it coming already. Even in the back, a big kettle drum. So he's singing with my soul, I think, and it's going, gotta be there. Can you hear it in your mind? I can hear it in my mind. This praising the Lord that way. But I'm not going to change the real, grab counterfeit to build a church. It ceases then to be a church. It's phony. It's counterfeit. So we didn't say, listen, God, make the church of our forefathers our church. God, give us your presence. Use the same. Listen, tell you something here to people today. Use the same mantle. Quit trying to change things and look for different means or methods. No, it's the same old tried and true methods. Preacher, you gotta be more relevant and connect with people. I just gotta preach the gospel. Preacher, you gotta get more cool, more hip, and you gotta relate to people. You gotta get them to their level. I'm trying to get people away from my level, not to my... This idea we got to change to reach people. No, it's the same tried and true. Listen, I'll tell you something. Hang on your seatbelts now. Hang on a little bit. You know why the church today is not growing? Not because we've not changed. Because we ain't going. What's the last time you knocked on the door and invited somebody to church? What's the last time you passed a tract out to somebody? Now listen, I'm not trying to be cruel this morning on kind of anybody. I'm saying, well, preacher, it's because you're preaching. And very well, maybe because of my preaching, we ain't growing. But I'll tell you something, God's people ain't going anymore either. There ain't the going that there used to be. When God's people would canvass the city that they lived in and pray for the city that they lived in and say, God, reach our city. God, save our people. We have kind of got content and complacent. By the way, it's easy to get comfortable. Serving God takes a little bit of work, doesn't it? Boy, you know what? When I was 25 and 35, man, it was easy to go night and day. And I know I'm not 60 yet, or 70, but I know one thing. At 52, when 8 o'clock comes at night, this body says, you're done. I'm like, no, I'm not done! Yes, you are. I understand it. But where is our heart for God's presence in our clinging to the same mantle that's been passed on to us? Now, here's the message today. That was our introduction. I want you to see this today. And by the way, it'll be a short message. I only got 5 minutes left because we got to get ready for the chapel ministry. I'm trying to change some things. But so when I'm done, I'm done. Elisha called upon the same God. Look at verse number 14. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" Now watch this. Elisha didn't ask, where was the power of Elijah? He didn't say, where is Elijah? Elijah was gone. He didn't ask, where is the personality of Elijah? He didn't ask, where is the boldness of Elijah? Elisha called upon God. Elijah was gone, but God was the same. And when Elisha said this, he was saying, listen, God, the God of Elijah is now my God. I'm going to trust in that very same God. Now, watch with me. Elisha didn't call upon the gods of the sons of the prophets that were in Bethel. He didn't say, where is the Lord God of the sons of the prophets of Jericho? Elisha called upon the Lord that worked and blessed in the life of Elijah. Now here's today, here's the message, here's the whole push today. Here's why I find the church has made a great big mistake. Because rather than reaching back into our history and saying, where is the God of our forefathers? Where is the God of Paul and of Silas? Where is the God of Hudson Taylor and D.L. Moody and Spurgeon? Where is the God? Where is the God of Ira Sankey? Where is the God of David Brainerd and George Mueller? Where is the God of Jim Elliot and Pete Fleming and Ed McCulley and Nate Saint? Where is the God of Roger Iredine? Where is the God of Amy Carmichael and Susanna Wesley and Fanny Crosby? We have turned to the next generation and we say, where is the God of our youth? We made a mistake. Because really going back to grandpa and grandma and say, where is the God of grandpa and grandma? We've gone and say, where is your God? That'll be our God. Nothing against these folks. But I want to turn back. Our youth today has said, where is the God of the compromise? The God of the carnal? Where is the God of the contemporary? Where's their God? And they don't have a real walk with God. It's a God, but a different God. And today, here's a message for you young folks in our church. Quit looking to the gods of the folks that don't walk with God. And saying, where is their God? Where is the world's God? Where is the compromiser's God? Where is the new hip God, the new relevant God, the new modern God? We don't want that God. We don't want that God. Young folks today, moms and dads today, you better look back to our history, to our past. Well, preacher, they weren't perfect. Neither was Elijah. This idea, we had this idea that if a man of God or a person in the church is not perfect, perfect, then that must somehow taint God. No, this reveals God's mercy and grace. This idea, well, if they're not perfect, then I want nothing to do with that church or that their God at all. That's the devil's lie. To deceive you, to walk away. You young folks, you better quit asking for the God of, and I hate to even name some, you better quit asking for the God of these contemporary Christian music singers. If their music is so great, then why are so many of them leaving that and saying, we don't even believe in God anymore? Not just once, but many of them say, they'll leave, that's a wrong road to go down perhaps this morning. And said something. He said, well, preacher, I just like contemporary music. You better be careful who their God is. Right. It's not the same God. Right. This emerging church, it all looks good. Let's join together, have social reform, save the babies, and ban the guns. Listen, I'm all for saving babies. I think abortion is murder, is murder, is murder. Slaughtering of the innocent. It's America's Holocaust. I'm not for gun violence. But the reform is not going to be us joining hands with sinners and compromisers. And let's all change and serve their God. The reform is going to be when men get born again. And it takes God's people saying, I don't want the world's God. I want the God of my forefathers. Where is the Lord God of Elijah? Listen, Elijah didn't want a new God. He wanted this God that was the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same God gives the same blessings. Preacher, why are you so hard about some of those things? Because different gods, different blessings, different directions. You know, I remember growing up, you know, when I grew up, wasn't contemporary music when I grew up was Sandy Patty and Amy Grant. And Michael W. Smith. And my preacher would get up, he was an old-fashioned preacher, he'd get up and he would name their names and he'd preach against them. Boy, it would make us, we'd get a little hot on the collar. Why would I like that music? Let me ask you today, where is Amy Grant, Sandy Patty, Michael W. Smith? If you're my age, you know where they're at. Not in the will of God. Drinking, running around, fornicating. I'm going to say this morning, young folks, moms and dads, be very careful whose God you ask for. Because Elisha said, I want God to bless me. How do you know it's the same God? He went back to the Jordan River, to the same mantle, spoke the river, and the same God showed up at that scene. You want God's presence in your life? His blessings in your life. Quit trying to manufacture. You know, I said this before, I'll say it again. America is guilty of making Christ an idol. We have made a Christ in our image. What we like. Well, I don't like that part. Taking that out, that ain't my Christ. Well, I don't like that part. Taking that part out, that ain't my Christ. No, it says something. You better get the same old mantle and say, okay, God, reveal to me who you are. Who you are. Quit trying to change God in your image. I don't know who we think we are as people that say, I'm going to change God in my image. Ask for the God of our forefathers. The same God gives the same blessings. Let me close with this morning. The same spirit of God that rested upon Elijah, the same spirit of God that rested upon Elijah, the same spirit of God that can rest, dwell upon you. God said this, draw nigh to God, and I will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God. By the way, it's not just any God. It's the Lord God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth, the Lord God of this book. 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This morning, my thought is this, and my message today is this. Who are you calling upon today? Who's God? The God of the book? The God the world promotes? Reach back this morning and look back. Don't look ahead. Look back and see what God has been and say, that's the God I want. And God, the very same God that can bless Elijah and Elisha and all the saints of old, can bless you as well. He can part your Jordan River, so to speak. He can dwell with you. He can bless you and have his hand upon your life and bring you healing and joy and happiness and peace. But and today there's all kinds of problems in the church because it's a different God that we're serving, not the God of the Bible. Christian, today, be so very careful about looking ahead. Rather look back and say, that's the God that I want. Today, are you calling upon the God of the Bible? The same God of Elijah and Elisha. Lord, today we come to you and thank you, Father, for your precious and holy word. And God, that you offer salvation to whosoever will. And God, today my prayer is, my heart is today, if there be any today that's here that's not been saved, if they died today, they wouldn't know where they'd go. Lord, they're still yet in their sins. Lord, today am I asking you, Father, through the Spirit of God, would you convict them? Would you rip away their pride? Reveal their sin? And God, may they come today to know you as their Savior by faith. And Lord, today I ask that you bless our church and our church family. Lord, may we not make you into an idol that we adore, that we have customized, that we have made, but may we see you as you really are, high and lifted up and holy. God, may we call upon you, the same God of yesterday, today, and forever. Give great wisdom today, I pray, and help us. We ask your name. Let's all today stand together. As we stand, the piano begins to play an invitation song this morning. Perhaps today you'd say, you know, preacher, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And if I died right now, I am yet in my sins. I've not been born again. I've not been saved. And if I died right now, I'd probably go to hell. I'm not sure that heaven's my home. That I'm part of God's family. Today, if that's you, would you simply take a breath, swallow some pride, and step out from where you're standing and meet me in the front and say, Pastor Mass, I want to know for sure I'm saved. Well, take the Bible from God's word, show you how you can be saved. You need to come this morning. Perhaps today you're in the pew and you say, you know what, the Spirit of God has today pricked my heart. I've been looking toward the wrong God. Oh, I thought it was the Lord God of Elijah, but I've been looking toward the wrong God. I've been looking for the world's God, the compromising God, let's get along with everybody God, the contemporary God. But I want to know Him. I want His presence and power upon my life. I want to know Him. I don't want the new God of the world. I want the old-fashioned God of my parents, my grandparents, our forefathers. Today, would you come this morning? You come. When Elisha went back to Jordan River, he took Elijah's mantle, he smoked the waters, and of course, you read the story, it parted. The very next verse number 15 says, the sons of the prophets, they witnessed that, and they said, surely God's presence is upon Elisha as well. But weren't they sorry for not being part of that? Weren't they sorry for their complacency? This morning, he said, preacher, you know, I've been praying, asking for answered prayers for my Jordan be parted and for God to help me. It seems like I'm not getting anywhere in my life. Without trying this morning to be unkind or crude, perhaps you're looking to the wrong God. Maybe you have fashioned a God today in your own image that you think you yank his chain, he jumps. We ought to be looking back to the God of Elijah, who's holy and powerful and righteous, and saying, God, here I am. I just need your presence and your power upon my life and your anointing. Let me see you as you are, who you really are. And today the world needs to look around us and say, there's something different about those people. God is on those people's lives. Amen. Lord, today we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for your holy word. Help us today, I pray, to be your people. We call upon you, Father. Thank you, dear God, for the promise. If we draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh to us. And that you'll dwell in us and be with us and be our God and we'll be your people. God, today we rejoice for that blessing. We bless you, Father, for it. Let's help us now as we go about our way. Bring us back tonight safely. We pray in your name. Amen.